rate, debate, recreate.
This wine is so bad.
That was recorded, so here we go. What's up, girls and gays? Welcome back to episode 3 of Rate, Debate, Recreate. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Culler.
And again, welcome to episode 3. Logan and I have decided to run away together to escape our bigoted families. So that's our news.
Yeah, so Sammy, where are we running off to?
Puerto Rico, maybe?
Russia?
Moscow?
Honestly, both of those are potentially options.
You were going to say Moscow might be potentially dangerous. But
yeah, that one might not be great for me. Yeah, so speaking of Moscow and Puerto Rico, today our theme and our category of the week is Forbidden Love.
And just to go over the concept of the show again, since we're on episode 3, so Logan and I both love musicals. We both did musical theater in high school and college, basically our whole lives. So for this show, we'll each be picking a show based in the category each week, rating those shows on a scale of 1 to 10, debating the merits of the show, and then recreating an aspect of the show. So like Logan said, this week, the category is Forbidden Love, and my show is none other than West Side Story.
And my show is Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812.
Woo! Those are two killer shows. This is going to be hard. This can be tough. But let's go ahead and get started. So we'll get started with a little plot summary of each show, and then we'll rate them. Both shows are a little complicated, so the plot summary might take a little longer than normal. But anyway, West Side Story is, as you know, based on Romeo and Juliet, but better, in my opinion, and was conceived apparently as a sort of plea for racial tolerance, using complete integration of song, dance, music, etc. to show that. So the show follows Tony, who's part of a New York gang called the Jets, but when we meet him, he's kind of on the outs. He's still friends with everyone, but he's not as involved as he used to be. And we also follow Maria, who's the sister of Bernardo, and Bernardo leads the rival gang called the Sharks. And the Sharks are made up of Puerto Rican immigrants. So other important characters include Chino, who's sort of courting Maria at this time, Anita, who is dating Bernardo, and Riff, who's Tony's best friend. So the Jets and the Sharks are beefing over turf when the movie opens, their rival gangs, and Tony and Marita meet at a dance, and they fall in love, love at first sight, immediately. And they try to keep it a secret, but at the same time, the Jets and the Sharks are planning a rumble or a fight. Mm. And so Maria asks Tony to use his influence to try and stop the fight. And he goes and he tries and it does not work. And Bernardo actually ends up killing Riff, who again is Tony's best friend. And in a fit of rage, Tony then kills Bernardo, who is Maria's brother, and he runs off. And Maria finds out about what happens and she's upset, but she ends up forgiving Tony. And they decide to run away together. And then Tony goes to the general store where he works to get some money. And Maria is supposed to meet him there, but she's held up and sends Anita in her stead to tell Tony she'll be late. And the Jets are also at the store. And then they harass and attempt to rape Anita, quite frankly, when she shows up. And in her anger, she tells them that Chino found out about Tony and Maria's plan, and then he killed Maria. So Tony finds out about this and is obviously distraught and runs outside screaming for Chino to come find him to kill him too. And then lo and behold, Maria shows up very much alive and they run to each other, but Chino shows up at the last minute and kills Tony right before they reach each other. Very sad. So I, just as kind of a little disclaimer, I have never seen a live version of this on the stage, but I've seen the 1961 movie like 70 times. So it's very nostalgic for me, but I'll be going off the movie for a lot of this conversation. So going off the movie, because that's what I have access to, I think I'm going to give West Side Story 7.5 out of 10 daddy-o's.
Daddy-o. Okay, so let's talk about Great Comet. Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812 is a musical adaptation of this 70-page snippet of Tolstoy's big-ass story, War and Peace.
Only
so it's
70
literally
pages.
The whole musical is just based off of like a 70-page portion of War and Peace. So it takes place in Russia, Moscow, in 1812. It follows Natasha, the titular character,
yes,
her love affair with Anatole, even though she is betrothed to Andre. At the same time, Pierre, played by Josh Groban on Broadway, is a friend of Andre's, and he is basically just super depressed and searching for his meaning in life. And essentially, Natasha and Pierre's paths cross, as well as, you know, the aftermath of her scandalous relationship and Pierre's depression and all this stuff kind of coming to a big point. Some interesting things to know that I think are integral to describing this show is that I think it's told in like a really revolutionary way. The initial way that this story was imagined and told was at a, like, in the meatpacking district of New York. Mm-hmm. And literally this space was just converted into like a Russian vodka bar. And so, like, literally there was not a stage. It was just like a big vodka bar in a tent. Everyone that saw the show would be served shots of vodka, like, for free as just part of this experience.
That's awesome.
And the actors just perform it, like, in the rounds, going between all the, like, tables and doing choreography. And, yeah, it's kind
cool.
of insane. And that was obviously different than what ended up on Broadway, because that's not quite what you can do in a Broadway theater.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way that they like adapted the theater and stage is like, it is not your typical Broadway show in that sense. Like a big chunk of the audience sits on the stage. Actors are in the mezzanine and the orchestra, like everywhere. And yeah, it's just like they serve you pierogies.
Like, amazing. That sounds
just,
like my
I
kind
think
of show.
I think it's just a really phenomenal show. Rachel Chavkin, director, is incredible. And this is actually going to be my first 10 out of 10 on this show. I give Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812 10 out of 10 scoundrels. That is a reference to Grace McLean, my literally hero and icon. If you're listening, I love you. And in one of her songs, she says scoundrel in like a super dramatic and like really good way. So
do you think you could say it?
Yeah, she goes, "You will not enter my house, scoundrel." Like, it's literally so dramatic. It's so over the top. And yeah, this, to be totally honest with you, Sammy, as we enter this discussion, I have like three musicals that I consider to be my like favorite. Mm-hmm. And this is one of them. I got to see it on Broadway.
And jealous.
It's hands down my favorite live experience I've ever had at a show.
Wow, that's so awesome. I'm so happy. I wish I got to see it. It was supposed to tour here a while ago, and I don't remember why I didn't go, but I couldn't, and that's really sad for me. But moving into the conversation, we have to rate. You have to rate first. My bad.
So I also, actually, that's not true. I have seen the stage version.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I saw an interesting take on the story of West Side Story, which I have also seen the movie, so I have that context. And based on those two, I'm going to give West Side Story a 7 out of 10 daddy-os.
Okay, I think that's fair based off of those two. So I have never seen The Great Comet. I've only listened to it. So based off the music, I think I'll give it an 8 out of 10 scoundrels.
There we go.
There we go. Okay. Shall we move
Shall
on
we
into
debate?
The discussion? We shall. So I texted Logan earlier and I was like, I have so many thoughts I need to parse about West Side Story because it's one of my favorite musicals. Specifically because of the music and lyrics, like I think it's just absolutely gorgeous. And I know it's really well known for its choreography and stuff, which obviously is like probably the best part of the movie, actually, because a lot of the singing is not the best. And also the two main leads are dubbed. So it's kind of like, whatever. But anyway, I kind of want to get this part, not out of the way, but I think it's important to touch on. So a lot about this movie, and particularly the movie, maybe not the musical itself and what the musical actually stands for, but the movie itself has not aged well because it includes literal brown face. It's quite obvious. The actor who plays Bernardo, his name is George Chakris. I think that's how you say it. And he's Greek. And he is quite literally like sweating off his brown makeup. Like you can like see it or like his lighter skin around his lips. And like, it's pretty bad. But I was reading a HuffPost article earlier today with Rita Moreno, who plays Anita in the movie.
Yeah.
And she is actually Puerto Rican. And she talks a lot about kind of what it was like on set, about the white actors like Natalie Wood, who is Maria, and again, George Chakris, being put in dark makeup. And she herself, who is actually Latina, she had her skin darkened up as well because they wanted everyone to have the same skin color. And apparently she like spoke to the makeup director and asked like, why do I have to do this? I'm actually Puerto Rican. And he alleged, apparently he was like, what, are you racist? And she was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And apparently she also like had to speak in that really ridiculous accent. If you've ever seen it, it's like,
yes,
not what
I
she
have.
Sounds like. And yeah. So she's, it sounds like she put up with a lot on that set. And I'm sure there were a few other, Latina and Latino actors on set. So I'm sure they did as well. So as much nostalgia as I have for this particular movie, I'm really excited about the new movie, not for Ansel Elgort, but Steven Spielberg has the new movie version of this coming out, I think in December, if we're lucky. And Rachel Zegler is going to be in it as Maria and a bunch of other Latinx actors. So I'm just really excited to see.
Yeah, I am so excited.
So
and
psyched.
I have some tea to spill.
Please do.
I can't say a lot, but a chunk of this film was filmed on my block.
Oh my God.
Literally, for like 3 or 4 weeks, my entire block was like redecorated with like 1960s style, like signage, and like some were in Spanish and stuff. And they did a lot of filming there. And I saw Steven Spielberg directing a like fight scene.
That's crazy. I would have lost my mind if I saw Steven Spielberg.
It was pretty wild. Honestly, it was kind of crazy because I would just leave my apartment and like all of a sudden I was like, what? Like, where
Steven
am
Spielberg's
I?
Steven Spielberg's chilling. Does he look normal or does he look famous?
He looks normal.
Damn, that's probably true. All right. Anyway, kind of going off that, I like want to talk a little bit about like the concept of race in the show in itself in a kind of a deeper way. And a lot of the information that I've gotten for this is from a review from The Atlantic for the newest revival, which you saw. So I'm interested to hear what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So this review was written by Daniel Pollock Pelsner. It starts off with this letter that I found really interesting. So apparently right before the show opened on Broadway, a doctor who had seen it sent Sondheim a letter and kind of blasted the song America for some of its lyrics. Notably the one about tropic diseases in Puerto Rico, because he's a doctor. He said, apparently, Puerto Rico has a really low rate of tropic diseases and a lower mortality rate than the continental U.S.
Ooh.
So he was like, this is factually inaccurate. And Sondheim was kind of like, yeah, he's probably right to be offended, but I'm not going to change that lyric because it sets up the whole entire lyric. Like, he was not willing to change a couple words to like change the feel of the lyric, I guess, which he's a genius. He probably could have thought of something else, but whatever.
Yeah.
And that just kind of sets up this review, which is a lot about how West Side Story is really interesting because if you look at it through the lens of like a Latin musical, it can be really offensive and like not great in that lens. But the review has a really great line. It says, West Side Story has always been about what it means to be an American, but never really about what it means to be a Puerto Rican. And then it goes on to talk about how it's kind of insulting when you think about it as a Latin musical, but when you think about it as coming from the minds of four Jewish queer artists at the time, so it's Arthur Lawrence, Jerome Robbins, Stephen Sondheim, and Leonard Bernstein, it's like a really fascinating take on a fantasy. And then he goes on to kind of talk about this specific iteration of the story in the newest revival. And he talks about some of the choices that were made, such as the decision to make the Jets, correct me if I'm wrong, but they are now Black women and men instead of white men, correct? And also the focus or the decision to cut I Feel Pretty along with a few other songs. And he focuses on the decision to make the Jets Black men and women as sort of the musical's decision to focus on the suffering of Black and Brown people in general, like to make that a real focus in kind of a way to like maybe right the wrongs of the musical in the past. And isn't there like a, let me see if I can visualize this correctly and you tell me if I'm right. There's like screens in the background that show you like people like crossing the border and like Hurricane Maria, I think, shows up at some point. Yeah. Which talks about hurricanes and stuff. And so it's very overt in that sense. It's like a very different take on what West Side Story, I guess, was meant to be, which was kind of a fantastical rearing of like an anti or kind of a take against violence, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And like Tony and Maria live so outside the violence of that world. And then when they get into it, that's when things go wrong. It was just really interesting to read that review and think about like race relations in West Side Story and like how maybe by trying to make it more gritty or realistic and fix it, he actually maybe not made it worse, but made it more complicated.
Yeah. I saw the revival recently before the world shut down.
and they never reopen again.
Yes. That was actually one of the last shows I saw before lockdown. I have a lot of thoughts about the show. I left the show feeling really mixed. I guess like some good things is that I think Isaac Powell was really, really great. Mm-hmm. He played Tony, and I thought, oh my God, I cannot remember the actress's name who played Anita, but she was like literally incredible. I think the concept of it like didn't really work that well. So, okay, yeah. So the thing is, there's like no set, and then there's this huge screen that like is literally like almost like an IMAX kind of screen. And it plays a lot of like background images of New York with a lot of the cast members. So it's like supposed to be the background. And then also it opens up in two different parts, and one is to the bodega and one is to the like where they're working at the laundromat. And a lot of those scenes take place behind the screen. And you only see them on the screen on the outside, not on the inside.
Oh.
Yeah. That's so weird. It's kind of weird. Yeah. The thing is I do understand the concept, because there were some times where it like really worked, like 10% of the time. But then the rest of the time it was really distracting for me, and I don't think it like added to the story. Another thing is like, I don't know. I do know that like one of the supporting actors is like a known abuser in this.
Oh.
I like saw him, and it was just like pretty uncomfortable. Like, well, because it wasn't even like a maybe thing. It was like he had like admitted to, bad acts. Yeah. So I think that also like, I knew that going into it, and I saw him that night. So I think that definitely like probably clouded some of my view of it, but I don't know. I didn't leave feeling like that impressed with it.
Interesting. Yeah.
I definitely liked the movie more.
Oh, well, there you go. Which the movie has a lot of faults, but I do quite like the movie. And one of the things I really like, which I think, I don't know if this newest revival did, but I think the old revival did a little bit, the one with Karen Olivo, that has like more lyrics in Spanish and stuff. So that was like a few years ago. I think they got Lin-Manuel Miranda to rewrite some of the original lyrics in Spanish, which is pretty cool. But the song America, which is interesting because in the original cast production, it's basically framed as like the merits, the pros and cons of Puerto Rico as a country, basically. And that's where the line about Puerto Rico being full of tropic diseases and too crowded and all this other stuff kind of comes into play. And it's basically Anita being pro-America and not even pro-America, just really like anti-Puerto Rico. And another character, I think her name is Rosalia, being pro-Puerto Rico. And so that's the original song. And in the movie, they've reframed it to, it's almost more of like a pros and cons of being an immigrant in America song. Mm-hmm. So you have the women who are very pro being an immigrant in America, an immigrant who doesn't pass for white in America, because at this time there were a lot of European immigrants. And then you have the boys and Bernardo singing about like basically the flip side of that and it being hard to be a non-white immigrant in America. There's, what do they say? The women say like, everything's all right in America, and they say if you're all white in America, basically. And I think that is actually like a really good change. It still has some suspect lines about Puerto Rico as a country. But I do like that change. And the movie itself is actually really kind of an interesting look at immigrants in general as well, and kind of anti-cop.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, the cop makes some crack at the Jets at some point about them going back to the countries their parents are from, which are like Poland and all these other like European countries.
I think they cut G Officer Krupski from the Broadway show.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand either. It is kind of weird in a show that's so dark, especially, again, it's different in the movie. In the Broadway production, it's in the second act after the Rumble. So it's after Bernardo and Riff are dead. And in the movie, it's before that, and Riff saves it. And I think it actually works better in the movie, weirdly enough, just because it's like levity in a time where it makes sense for there to be levity.
Yes.
And then in the movie, yeah, they basically switch the songs Cool and G Officer Krupke, excuse me, which I think makes a lot of sense. But I was reading on Wikipedia that they thought they needed some levity, like it was getting too dark in the second act, so that's why they had G Officer Krupke there. But yeah, I also read they like cut I Feel Pretty, which is Maria's only solo song. That's stupid. That makes me really mad.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Also, yes! I just realized that I said that Anita was amazing, and I'm literally high. It's it's Maria.
Literally.
She was probably like the best Maria I've ever seen or heard. Yeah. She had the most beautiful voice.
Yeah. It's a tough part to sing. I don't know if I've ever like heard anyone that I truly loved sing it. Yeah, that's tough.
Is that tea?
That's maybe. Like, sorry, Marnie Nixon. Sorry, Carol Lawrence. What's the girl in the last? Sorry, Miss Josephine.
I was more thinking, has anyone in cast sung it?
No, because it's so hard. That's the other thing. This music is so, so good. Like, apparently, Sondheim didn't want to write. Like, he didn't want to write the lyrics for a couple reasons, which are both kind of funny. The first one is he's just maybe a little bit of an egomaniac. Maybe not. That's probably a little harsh, but like he wanted to write the music and the lyrics for his next show. Like he didn't like working with a composer, I guess. And so he wanted to do it all himself. I was like, that's fine. And then the other reason, apparently they called him and he was like, how am I supposed to write this? I've never been that poor and I don't know a Puerto Rican. Both fair points, sir. But apparently Oscar Hammerstein, our friend Oscar Hammerstein, convinced him to do it because he said it would like be good practice.
Damn. That's pretty crazy.
I know. But I just think like, oh, the music is so good. Do we want to get into the music and then we can like switch over to
That sounds good to
comment?
Me.
Okay. The music in this is so, so good. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about like the choreo with it. Because I don't think choreography at this point, like you talk about the Great Comet being revolutionary, and I think it definitely is, but choreography had like never functioned this way in a musical when West Side Story came out. Like, be like so functional and integral to the plot in that way. It's just crazy. It's really awesome. I was reading this review from the time it came out, a little before, I think, for one of the previews. It was from Walter Kerr, who's with the New York Herald Tribune. It's from 1957. He's talking about Cool, and he says, when a gang leader advises his cohorts to play it cool, the intolerable tension between an effort at control and the instinctive drives of these potential killers is stingingly graphic. And I literally, when I was watching the movie, I was thinking to myself, this is the coolest choreography I've ever seen. Like it's so menacing in a way that dancing like shouldn't be able to be. It's really crazy. And I think before, maybe to you at some point, but I also think that Tony is probably like one of the hardest male roles to convey on stage. Something's Coming is maybe one of my favorite musical theater songs ever, but you have to be on his side, like, bam. Mm-hmm. As soon as you see that guy, you have to believe in him. And he says some ridiculous stuff, right? He's so...
Yeah, hard. He's not, like, that likable.
It's not that he's not likable. He's just, like, silly. He says ridiculous things. He's like, we're gonna win. We got magic. Like, he's ridiculous. It's hard, I think, especially now. Like, people are really kind of suspect of that level of earnestness. And on the flip side of that, he also have to be able... He has to believably be able to kill a person in a fit of rage.
Yeah.
So
and
it's
like for
so
you to
tough.
Still kind of be on his side.
Yeah, you have to like understand why Maria might be like, well, you killed my brother, but I guess you know, like even if he, you know, it's so tough. I keep saying, you know, but it's just, it's unbelievable to me.
It is.
That someone could be able, and again, I don't think I've ever seen anyone believably portray it. The guy in the movie, I think, gets the earnestness right, but I don't know if I believe he would actually kill a dude.
Yeah.
It's really tough. But anyway, I'll go through my bop list for West Side Story. I'm gonna use the movie because that's the last thing I watched.
Okay.
So you've got Jet Song, where the accents are just coming out. They're like, we always walk tall with Jets. It's so funny, and everyone's accents are hilarious, and the choreo again is great. Then you get Something's Coming. Like I said, top five musical theater song for me. Like, such an incredible song. Then you get, I don't know if this technically counts, but The Dance at the Gym, which they don't really sing, but it's really like visually appealing and looks really cool. Then you get Maria. Then you get America. Then you get Tonight, which I know the words to the balcony scene by heart. I was like literally reciting it. I used to act out in my bedroom when I was little. Like, I can do it by heart. Then you have Tonight. Then you have One Hand, One Heart, which may not be like super jazzy, but it's really beautiful. And then you have The Rumble. So that's another kind of like active, maybe not a song. Maybe the bop list doesn't really include things that aren't songs, but I don't
know. It can. Who's to say that? It can be a visual bop.
A visual bop. The Rumble.
Because I'm on board with these. Like, yeah. I'm not debating that.
Yeah. And then I don't think Somewhere is a bop, but it's super beautiful. So we'll X Somewhere from it. I think Cool is also a bop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's it. It's just full of really great songs. I think Maria is also a really tough role to convey effectively. So I think it's like an actor's kind of dream, which I guess Sondheim lyrics are. Yeah, I just really love it. I think it's really well put together.
Yeah. I honestly, yeah, I agree with a lot of that.
Thank you.
Right. Also, I see this note on here under your We Are Sharing a Notes talk, everyone. and I'm going to say it because I also just now realized this when I saw the Broadway version, but this whole story takes place in 2 days.
Yes.
Like that for me is like, I think the biggest barrier for me to suspend that disbelief that like
yeah. I'm sorry. You're correct. Keep going.
Yeah. Like you have to be rooting for a guy that met a girl within 24 hours
and then killed her brother
and then she has to be like, yeah, you know what, that's okay,
I get it.
In yeah. 48 hours.
I really think, because I didn't realize that until there's like a scene where it's after the Rumble and Anita like knocks the door, she's like, they saw you at the dance last night, and I was like, wait, the dance was last night? What? Because I think it works if you just don't think about the timeline at all. But when you think about the timeline, but that's like par for the course for Romeo and Juliet, right? Like they know each other for like 3 days and then they kill it.
Yeah,
I do like
true,
the fact
true.
I like the fact that no one pretends to commit suicide in this show. Like I like the fact that it's a misunderstanding rather than like the girl being like, I'm gonna pretend to kill myself. Like,
yeah,
that'll
I
show
agree with
like
that.
You know. Yeah, that's what I think. You wanna move on?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite shows ever, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. I should like pull this. Hey, if we ever make a Patreon or whatever that thing is,
yes,
I'll post this Snapchat I have of me crying both before and after Great Comet on Broadway.
Can't wait.
that'll be subscriber only content. Okay, so I'm just gonna talk about a few specific things about this because I think that they're so integral to how, like, to me, revolutionary this show is. And it came out a year after Hamilton, and, like, I love Hamilton. I think it's, like, a really, like, groundbreaking show. Like, I think there are a lot of valid criticisms of it, and I still think that the show is, like, phenomenal in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that Great Comet is more revolutionary and better. It takes place in Moscow in Russia, and this whole thing is told like it's in like you're in this Russian bar together, and basically the whole musical is sung. It's so like tongue-in-cheek, and a lot of it is literally like them expressing their feelings out loud. Like at one point Danae Benton, who plays Natasha, literally sings like Natasha blushes or like something like along those lines.
It's like they're narrating it almost.
Yeah. And the first thing that I think is insane is like the use of space. I love like immersive shows. I've seen quite a few, I think. Like I saw Once on This Island, that revival, which I think was really cool. I had another one in mind.
Humble bragging. That's what you're doing.
Hair. I saw a production of Hair that was just like really, really cool and immersive. And I think that Great Comet is like by far the most unbelievable like stage design I've ever seen. So the way it works is like a good chunk of the audience sits on the stage, and there's kind of like tiered layers, and the stage just kind of like goes throughout the whole theater, and people are literally set up in like tables and chairs like they're at a bar, and so a lot of the like dancers are also like waiters that'll come up to you give you pierogies, but they're not waiting on you. It's like choreography. It's like literally like they'll like spin into a dip and then hand you a pierogi. Like it's fucking amazing and so sexy. Like
there's nothing sexier than someone dipping and handing food.
Yes. Actually on that note, the person that like came to my section, because like they would come out in sections a lot of the time, and the person that came to my section at one point was Gelsey Bell, who plays Mary in this show, but also this was like an ensemble scene, and she was wearing this like catsuit latex. It's during this like strobe light disco scene, and was literally like humping and like having sex with the floor and herself on this thing right in front of me. And I am like mostly gay. There's a little bit of not gay in me, but mostly gay. And I was so turned on. Like
she's the part that's not gay.
Yeah, she was phenomenal. Okay, anyway. The next thing I think that is really like so cool to me about Great Comet is just how genre bending to me isn't even the word. It's like it's genre transcending. Like it's just its own creation. You have like literally full on strobe light electronica, like modern techno dance moments, and then you have like songs like Sonia Alone, which is like a really like indie, like Ingrid Michaelson-y, who actually ended up playing the role later.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a really indie kind of song. There's like accordions, it's like Russian inspired. There's just like so many different elements of music in there. The acting in this show, like Danae Benton, Josh Groban, like as the two leads, I think was so great. And like I don't know, I know that there are mixed feelings about the concept, but personally I love like the playing of white characters in history by people of color. I think that's just like a really good thing, especially if the characters aren't like extremely problematic, I think.
Colorblind casting, I mean, it just on a surface level, it gives people more options, you know?
Yeah, and it's just like, I know it's like different because it's the Great Comet, but if you think about it, like that's casting like a black woman in the lead of War and Peace. Like that's pretty crazy,
Yeah,
that's in a
cool.
phenomenal
And
way.
she's fantastic. So,
So the next point about Danae Benton is that that woman made me cry like more than anyone in this show I've ever seen. She was so good. She has this like beautiful soprano voice and can belt really well, but can like switch between them so seamlessly. Yeah, the song No One Else is literally one of my favorite musical ballads ever. And I also think it's probably one of the best directed scenes I've ever seen in my life. She like, yeah, she like is singing it, and there's this like white light shining down on her, and the rest of it is dark, and like snow starts falling, and it's just this whole build up. Yeah,
I
I
love
think
that.
that like scene alone could have. Danae didn't win the Tony,
Who did?
which that was honestly a really competitive year. I don't remember
Sutton
who won it.
Foster and Shrek.
No. But Danae didn't win it, which I was really sad about. But I think someone else that was really good won it.
Didn't this also like not win best music or something
Oh,
like
I think it
that?
was
Which is,
Cynthia Erivo
oh,
won. Yeah.
that's fair.
Yes. Yeah, I know. So
But didn't
like
this
it's
also
fair,
not
but
win like best music in a show? Or it's like it won
yeah,
something
so
stupid. It didn't win something stupid.
it's one of the, I think one of the most robbed shows ever. It got like I think like 14 nominations or 12 nominations, and it only won two, and it
It's
was for
ridiculous.
scenic design and lighting design. It didn't win any. It was like it lost to fucking Evan Hansen, which like
Oh, that was the Evan Hansen year.
I'm sorry, Evan
Oh.
Hansen stands out there. Like I love the show, I really do.
Same.
I think it's a good show.
And I will
Good.
say, have
That's
you
all I'm
seen it?
saying.
Okay,
I've seen a bootleg of
I saw it.
it.
I was very lucky and I got to see it with Ben Platt. This is a tangent, but I'll keep it short. And I will say, not in defense, because this should have won, especially like music. Are you kidding me? Anyway, but like seeing it in person, especially with Ben Platt, was such an experience, because literally like the whole place, like from the get-go, is just filled with people going like like shaky breathing
Yeah.
and sobbing. I was right there with them. It's such a collective like emotional experience that I understand why people leave it and be like, holy shit, oh my god,
Yes.
you know. But if you just listen to the musical, like the music, like the cast recording, no question, Natasha Pierre and the Great Gobbler
Yeah,
is
that's what
so
really
much
gets me.
better.
Like, yeah, and like also I'm not a Dear Evan Hansen hater. I do think it's good. I think I just like think that that's a really good show, and this to me is like a revolutionary show.
That's fair.
So Danae and Josh both slay it. To me, the standout of this entire show is Grace motherfucking McQueen.
Her proper name.
Nick Langis. Me and Nick Langis are like obsessed with Grace McQueen, and we have been for years. We like listen to her band. We've like sent her fan mail.
Oh
Like
my
literally, like I've seen her in a solo show. Like
God. Grace, I hope you're
yeah, I
listening.
really am a big Grace McQueen stan. And she in this show, I think, is like such a highlight. And she plays like the most convincing, comedic, and yet stern and loving, like aunt to Natasha. And her songs, like her, she has this way of like belt yelling in a like stern way and stuff. That literally just cracks me up. I love her so much. Okay, Amber Gray, who ended up playing Persephone in Hadestown, she was amazing as Elaine, the slut. Britton Ashford, Kelsey Bell, Lucas Steele. Yeah, so I'm obsessed with the cast. I'm obsessed with the concept. I think the songs, like Sammy, this is I'm not even gonna do a bop list because it would be me reading every single song from the show. And actually, that's not true. It would be me reading every song on the show plus one because there was one song that was cut from the Broadway version that I
And it's
also
still
really
a
like.
bop.
But But a few things that I'll point out. Okay, so prologue, I think is, we'll get more to this later.
Yeah.
But I think like that is just such a hilarious, wall-breaking, great introduction into what you're going to get from this show. If you're unfamiliar with the song, it basically like goes, it's kind of like a Russian folky kind of like accordion song. And they introduce everyone in a like way that they repeat it. So they do one person and then they layer the next person and go. So it's like Natasha's young. Yeah. Okay, I'm just gonna read like this line from that song. This is all in your program. You are at the opera. You're gonna have to study up a little bit if you wanna keep with the plot. It's a complicated Russian novel. Everyone's got 9 different names, so look it up in your program. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
It's true.
Like, there it's like just so funny. Yeah, and they're just like yelling that at you. I just love the way it goes through that. Grace McLean, icon, like all of her songs. This one is Moscow in the beginning, but all of hers are phenomenal. One song that I think is extremely underrated from this show, and I say underrated because I'm a part of many great comment stan Reddit accounts, and people don't talk about this song as much as it deserves, is Natasha and the Bolkonskys. And there's this part where Danae Benton and Gelsey Bell are like in person, like doing, they're just having like a really awkward fake interaction, and it's just like not going well for either of them. And they sing and their notes are like the most like jarring dissonant notes, and they like, they move together with them, and it's honestly must be really difficult to sing, like,
yeah,
but it was I just love that part. No One Else, like I said, one of my favorite musical theater ballads ever. The opera is like one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life on stage. A lot happens, and the staging of it again is just like unbelievable. At the end, it's just like, I'll do anything for you, Natasha, and she just is like in a trance for the rest of the show after that night. Balaga is just such a fun, like, I think that, I think of that kind of like in Hamilton, you know, how after Burn, like everything just is like downhill for the rest of the show and you're just kind of like a bummer.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that in Great Comet, like after Balaga's song, it's just this like really fun, like upbeat abduction song. And then after that, everything's just like death and sadness and despair.
Good times.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So those are really my thoughts. I could honestly, Sammy, talk for hours about this, but
yeah, I was about to say we've talked a long time.
Yeah, we should maybe get to the recreate section.
Okay. So my recreate section is kind of like yours was last week. So just a little background. So we all know the slang in West Side Story. We make fun of it, right? Like everyone's like, oh, daddy-o, jabba-wabba, like saying shit that makes no sense. And I was doing some research and apparently they chose slang that was either not popular at all or they just made shit up because they didn't want to date the show, which is funny. Because that's exactly one thing.
Yeah. They're like, habber dabber.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Anyway, so I thought it would be funny to recreate some famous wines, lyrics, musical theater songs using jet slang. So I used Urban Thesaurus to help me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I want you to try to guess.
Urban Dictionary?
No, there's Urban Thesaurus.
Urban Thesaurus? Oh my God.
It's the opposite. I want you to try to guess what the lyric is. It's probably going to be really hard. We won't have to spend too much time in it. Okay. So the first one is, life croak my dreams, daddy-o.
Les Mis.
Yeah, what's the lyric?
Life has killed the dream, my dream.
Good job. Good job. Okay. God, this is embarrassing. Okay. This won't be easy. Don't yawp for me, Argentina. Real talk, you're never alone.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you.
Good job. Okay, I know me like I know me, and I got everything I need to walk tall, sperm to worm. This is gonna be really hard.
I have no idea.
It's from The Color Purple, I'm Here. I believe inside of me.
I believe that everything I need to live about.
Sperm to blood. Sperm to worm. Sperm to worm.
Wow.
Okay. I gotta huggy wuggy my knees and scrunch and hold on for my buggin' life.
I have no idea.
I feel like putting my arms around my knees and squeezing tight as possible.
Tight as possible. And fly.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Leaping lizards, give me another.
Mamma Mia?
Yes. Good job.
Okay. Get back up again.
Yes. Okay, I just got two more. Jesus Christ, let me hit it and quit it.
I don't know.
Lord, show me how to say no to this.
Okay.
Last one. I can guarantee we're gonna bamboozle him. So whatever happens, let's get cracking, buddy boy.
I don't know.
And it just so happens that we just might win. So whatever happens, let's begin. That's all I got. I think I'm embarrassed myself enough. So
I liked that. Go. That was fun. Okay. I'll present mine. Okay, so mine is because of how much I love the song Prologue at the beginning. What I love that it does is it introduces an extremely complex plot and it assigns everyone basically like a one or two word explanation in a really, really catchy way. So like, it's honestly, there are so many characters and they do all have like multiple names. Like, it's a good reminder, like, oh, that's the slut. Or like, oh, she's the nice one.
Yeah.
So anyway, my recreate is earlier I was talking about a lot of the parallels between Hamilton and Great Comet. Great Comet came out just a year after. They're both like modernized adaptations of historical events that took place like within years of each other. And yeah, both I think introduce unique genres to musical theater, like rap and hip hop from Hamilton and every weird like the Russian folk, electronica, indie, like all of that in Great Comet. So I love Hamilton's opener. I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think it does a really good job of introducing its lead character. But what about the like all the other characters in Hamilton? You know, like I need some help with that. Also, just before I tell you like what my version of the song would be, I just want to say that this version of Hamilton would be called Eliza, Alexander, and the Great Duel of 1804. Yeah, and also I think it's important that I use Eliza because I think that she is the main character of Hamilton.
That's true. Agree.
After every time I watch it, that's what I'm left with. okay, so I'm gonna do a quick thing of prologue, and I changed it all to Hamilton characters. So what I'm gonna do is read what like it is in the actual song, and then I'll show you my line that I recreated.
Okay. Got it.
The actual song goes, I'm just like, do I want to speak it or sing it? Balaga's fun. okay, so Balaga's fun becomes Lafayette is French. Bolkonsky is crazy becomes Jefferson is late. Late to the party, you know.
Missed the whole war.
Mary is plain becomes Peggy is there. Bulakov is fierce becomes Madison is weird.
Sick. Madison's
Elaine
sick.
Is a slut becomes Lawrence is a slut. Okay. I just like wanted to keep that, but if I had to change it, I would say Lawrence is a corpse.
Lawrence is dead. Sad.
Anatole is hot. Maria is hot.
True.
Maria Reynolds. Maria's old school becomes Angelica's in love. Sonia's good becomes George's king. And Natasha's young becomes Eliza's helpless.
Okay.
And then Aaron Burr isn't here. So what that would be is it would be like the whole intro. So it'd be like Lafayette is French, Jefferson is late, Peggy is there, Madison is weird, Lawrence is a slut, Maria's hot, Angelica's in love, George is king, Eliza's helpless, and Aaron Burr isn't here.
Yay!
And the great thing is in Great Comet, the other titular character, Pierre, which in this case would be Hamilton, are not mentioned in the prologue. In the end of it, it's like, what about Pierre? And then the next song goes into Pierre's like, I want song. So this one would do the same thing. It just transitions into Alexander Hamilton, and then you learn about him.
Wow! So, bada-boom! Daddy-o!
So Lin-Manuel, you still get your song, and the rest of the cast does too.
Don't worry, Lin. Your ego is intact. God. I'm just kidding. I love you.
Me too. Listening.
Wow, that was really good.
Thank you. I think that's it.
We did just kind of tease next week, sort of. You know what it is. Should I say what it is?
Yeah, you can say what it is.
Okay. Well, next week's category, can I get a drum roll, please?
Bada bing, bada boom.
Lin-Manuel Miranda! That's the category.
So there are a few options that you can guess from. Perhaps I'm defending Bring It On the Musical.
I guess maybe I'm defending Moana.
We'll see.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thanks again.
Bye.
We love you. Bye.
We love you.